Well, speaking of the Cleveland Indians, if I had my microphones completely turned on here, we've got Joel Haven of the Cleveland Indians on the phone with us right now. Every time we have Joel on, it's brought to you by Avon Brewing Company. Joel, how are you?
Hi, guys. How are you? Thank you.
Well, wonderful. Actually, I mean, two straight losses to the Tigers, I think, certainly something that eked the Indians a little bit, or I should say irked the Indians a little bit. But speaking of irked, and I want to give you a chance to explain this. I think it's hilarious, just because Tiger fans are all up in arms at this. But if you could, please explain and just kind of elaborate on this recent Twitter war, I guess, if you want to call it that, with these Tiger fans about stealing signs and stealing leads and things like that. I think it's hysterical. I mean, the Tigers have won the first two games in this series, but if you take a look at Twitter, you'd think that they lost those first two games, how upset they are.
Yeah, we, you know, as we've talked about, we like to have as much fun as we can on our social channels. And so, you know, twice in the last 7 months or so, Justin Verlander and Brad Ausmus have, you know, insinuated after losses to us that, you know, we may be getting some aid in those games. So we've had some fun with it in April when the Tigers were here and Verlander pitched. We had some fun with it and Tigers fans. And Monday night we had some fun, too. After we went down early, we kind of playfully insinuated that maybe the Tigers were getting some help that they accused us of. And Tigers fans did not like the joke or did not get the joke. And so they've been vocal here the first two games. But that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. We like to have fun.
No, and I think you know you hammered the point home, and you did a very good job of doing that when you have – a pretty good chunk of Tiger fans also coming to your defense, laughing and saying, yes, I get it. I hate the Indians, but at the same time, I have to tip my cap to you guys for having some fun with that. So I thought that was really, really awesome. I saw the news broke about 5 minutes ago on Corey Kluber. If you can, kind of go ahead and update our listeners on that situation. When I was putting these questions together for you, I was going to ask you if it was possible that he's going on the disabled list, but I know you know the answer to that, so I'll let you go ahead and answer.
Yeah, he has been placed on the 10-day, the new 10-day DL with a lower back strain. He left last night with some back stiffness after three innings. I think it's something he's dealt with a little bit consistently this year, and it you know, tightened up on him last night. Who knows if the weather was a factor. So he's on the 10-day. Joe Colon is up to provide another arm in the bullpen as we've been short last few days. Of course, you know, it helps that Sean Armstrong ate up some innings last night. He's done a couple times already. And so Colon will be here probably for a few days. I can only assume that a starter will come up for Joe on Sunday for Corey's turn in the rotation in KC. I would assume that would be Mike Clevenger. Clev started last night in Columbus, or for Columbus, rather. So I assume that would be the move, but we'll see what happens. A lot can happen, as you guys know, over the next, you know, the next two or three days. Heck, it sounds like we might get rain tomorrow in Detroit, so that would present the option of skipping that turn in the rotation and just sticking with our four guys. And so a lot of options on the table, especially if there's a weather issue. And then we're off, next Thursday. So, you know, not quite sure how it'll shake out. Hopefully Corey's okay and can get whatever is ailing his back back to normal so we can get him back all the way healthy in the rotation.
Sure, Joel, you're around the clubhouse. I mean, rain possible, not possibly. It's in the forecast for tomorrow in Detroit. With that in mind, do managers, do coaches, do they take any different approach to the game, say, tonight? I mean, has this become sort of a must-win if this becomes a three-game series?
No, I don't think so. I think Terry always talks about winning the game that's in front of them right now. So he's not thinking too much about tomorrow right now. And at this stage of the season, I don't think anything is a must-win. I mean, you know, we saw what happened last year with us and the Tigers. Anything can change very quickly. And, I think he's worried about what's going to happen tonight, solving Matt Boyd and solving left-handers in general, rather than worrying about, you know, what might happen tomorrow, what effect that might have on us.
Joel Hammond with the Cleveland Indians is our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Every week that we have Joel on, he's brought to you by Avon Brewing Company. Wanted to throw the attendance figures at you here, Joel. I know you guys have to be very, very pleased with at least the way the first month of the season has gone at home for you guys, because attendance, like it or not, it always seems to pop up. It's always part of the discussion. But you guys have done a pretty nice job with that so far. Figures up, I saw 40%, over 40%. And I think the bigger number there, and I think you'll agree, is that those midweek games, the attendance figures are up in the mid-40% as well. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, that's what hurt us in the past when our season ticket base was as low as it was. Those weeknight games drew 10,000, and you know, it's not great, you know, relative for us, though. I mean, we've seen pretty big spikes. So, you know, those 9,000, 10,000 weeknight games are now 14, 15. And now as we get into, as we talked about a number of times, as we get into, you know, May, end of school, late May, early June, that's when those weekends start to really start to pick up, too. So looking forward to that. And you know, obviously love the excitement from our fans. The ballpark has been loud. And, you know, we found that you get 20,000 in there or 20,000 plus in there, and it's kind of a new dynamic with, you know, with the renovated ballpark. So looking forward to more nights and days like that with a full place. And, you know, our players feed off that, no doubt.
Well, I would imagine so, absolutely. I mean, the excitement certainly is not contained in that building, that's for sure. I mean, boy, it gets loud in there. It gets very exciting in there. And I was there for the first time this season on Saturday, got the chance to catch up with you. And it was interesting because as you and I were sitting there talking, you know, I was sitting there looking at that MLB ballpark app, and I got to thinking about our conversation last week. And I know for some of the old school fans, that may not be something that they ever buy into, but people always tell me, well, I don't know if baseball's for this next generation. That's hogwash. Because I think when you walk in there with that app, absolutely everything is at your disposal. You could look at the rosters. You could look at the starting lineups. You can access stats from that thing. I think that tool, Joel, that MLB ballpark app, is just an absolutely wonderful thing, especially for that next generation coming in that has technology at their fingertips, and it's another resource that they can use to enjoy the game.
Yeah, we use it in a number of ways. I'm glad you used it. We use it in a number of ways. We use it for baseball. You know, you can see stats. You can see the roster. You can see anything baseball related. You can see that app. We also use it as a means of entry. Right? No longer do you need. You're bringing your phone to every game. So why would you print your ticket out while you have your ticket? Can't have your ticket on your phone. And we also use it as a customer service tool. So you know, Saturday, you know, we were sitting in section 130 or whatever it was, and it was pretty chilly. So need to figure out where hot chocolate is, need to figure out where coffee is. It's in the app. You've heard so much about Happy Dog and Ohio State Burrito at the ballpark. Where do you find that? It's in the app. So we use it a number of different ways. We've got more stuff on the horizon. We've started incorporating virtual reality videos into the app. Lots of cool stuff. And you're right, it's changed the way that fans, you know, or at least it's part of the way, part of the change in the way fans see the game, and we think it's a huge advantage for us.
Joel, you bring up the technology that makes it more of a fan experience game. From your take, how long you've been with the Indians and everything that you've seen, how is it helping, I don't want to say teach the game, but how is it helping the fan expand on the game?
Yeah, I mean, it absolutely helps any fan consume the game, whether that's you know, making their ballpark experience more enjoyable, you know, encouraging them to come back by by making it easy to get in, easy to navigate the ballpark, that sort of stuff. But it also, like I said, has all the baseball tools that you need too, whether it's the roster, whether it's, you know, the latest stats and all those good things. And, you know, we've incorporated different stuff. I mentioned the virtual reality videos. We incorporated that app that we discussed where, you know, if you're on the scoreboard or on the TV broadcast, you get that digitally delivered right to your phone. And so there's so many possibilities, and certainly looking to explore and identify any different ways to use it to make our fans' experience at the ballpark or with the game generally more enjoyable.
Joel, we always appreciate you joining us here, and I know it's been a busy week for you, so you must be pooped, no question about that. So we appreciate you joining us, and we'll do it again next week.
All right, Andy, have a great day. See you, Matt.